Hey, Bill, toss us over that magazine, will you?
Huh? Oh, here you are, Dad.
Oh, not this one. The one with the rearing horse on the cover.
I'm reading a story in that one myself.
Well, you're not reading it at the present moment, are you? What's the matter with you?
I'm hungry.
Oh, we'll have one of those oranges.
I couldn't look at another orange if you paid me. When I'm hungry, I know I'm hungry, and I'm hungry for a good, juicy piece of rump steak.
Oh, what did you have to mention that for, Bill? I've been trying to get my mind off steak for the last couple of days, and now you've started thinking of it again. You know, Mum won't give us anything but light food.
When I get over these measles, I'm going to have grilled steak for breakfast, dinner, and tea for a week.
Yeah, me too. You know, I reckon there's nothing nicer than a good, tender piece of rump steak.
Grilled quickly over a very hot fire.
And just a bit underdone.
With a few fried onions to set it all.
Oh, what's the good of talking about steak and onions, Bill? We haven't got Buckley's hope of getting any until we're up out of bed. Talk about something else for the love of Mike. I wonder how they're all enjoying themselves at the christening party.
They'll be enjoying themselves all right. You know, Mabel's a good little hostess. A bonza cook, too. You know, Mabel's got a special way of grilling steak.
I'll dry up about steak, can't you, Bill? She won't be giving them grilled steak at the christening party. They'll be having cakes and savouries and that sort of thing.
I know that, but I was talking about the way she grilled steak.
I know you were, and I wish you wouldn't. Anyway, how does she grill steak?
Well, she rubs a lemon over it before she cooks it, and she does it over a very hot fire, and she always turns it with the flat of the knife so that she doesn't puncture it. Keeps all the good in it that way, you know. And then she puts it onto your plate sizzling hot, and when you put your knife into it... Oh,
cut it out, Bill. You're making me mouth water. Haven't you got any art?
Oh, but honest, Dad, you have no idea.
Yeah, that's just where you're wrong. I have got an idea.
What do you mean?
Hey, listen, Bill. How long do you think Mabel will keep him at that christening party?
Well, I don't suppose she'd like anyone to leave before about 10:30.
And Mum will sure to be one of the last to leave, and Jack and Uncle Clarence won't leave until Mum does. That means that no one will be home here until about 10:40 at the earliest.
Oh, that's true. Did you have anything special in mind concerning all this, Dad?
Well, I was just thinking, Bill. Mum always keeps a supply of rump steak in the house.
Oh, does she? there's no one in the house except us.
And steak takes no time to grill.
And there's sure to be a good fire in the stove because I heard Mum tell Jack to put plenty of wood in just before they left. Yes, so that it would still be a light for her to make us a cup of tea when she came home.
Well, come on, Bill. Out of bed, get your dressing gown and slippers off.
You bet your life.
The very thought of a bit of grill steak makes a man feel better, doesn't it?
Too right it does. Come on, Bill.
Righto. What's about the time now?
About 10:00. Just nice time for us to cook it and have it and get back to bed before they come home.
Oh, the kitchen's all tidied up. We'll have to leave everything the same as we found it.
Yes, we'll do that. Have a look at the stove while I get the steak out of the shape, will you, Bill?
All right. Oh, it's just right for steak, Dad. Plenty of good hot embers.
Good-o. How much steak can you eat?
Oh, a fair slice.
Well, better not take more than about 1/2 pound each, or it might be noticed. Here we are, Bill, now. Who's going to be cook?
I will, if you like.
Righto, well, here's the steak. Now get on with the cooking while I get out the plates and knives and forks.
Done to a turn. Put the hot plates on the table, will you?
Righto.
I'll cut both these pieces in half so that we'll both get a share of the fat.
Righto, Bill, but shake it up. Time's getting on, you know.
There we are, Dad. Now, that's yours. What do you think of that?
Oh, it looks bonza, but I'll tell you when I taste it. Oh, most delicious steak I've ever tasted.
Yes, there's no doubt about me. I know how to cook steak. This will put new life into us, Dad.
Too right it will. My word, Bill, it's succulent, isn't it?
Beautiful bit of steak, Bill.
Yes, and I don't mind handing it to you, Bill. You cooked it like a trip.
You know, Dad, I never realized till lately how fond I was of the...
Careful,
of course, I always liked it, but just now I wouldn't swap it for anything you could offer.
Me either, but don't waste time talking building. We want to get outside of this as quickly as we can. But...
I'm not wasting any time, believe me. Hey, what's the matter with you? What are you staring into space for?
Listen, isn't that a car coming?
Jim, crikey, I believe it is. Getting closer, too. What if it's Mum coming home earlier than we expected?
That's our car, all right. I know the engine. Quick, Bill, into the garbage tin with your steak. Quick. Mum would hit the roof if she copped us eating steak when we're supposed to be invalids. Go on in and hurry up.
That's enough to break a man's heart, tossing good steak into the garbage tin.
Never mind, in with it. That's it.
What about the grilling iron and the plates and that?
Quick.
We won't have time to wash them up.
Well, bung them into this pot cupboard. There, that's good enough, Bill. Now, come on, we've got to duck back into our bedroom for our lives. Come on, quick.
Yes, all right, Uncle Clarence.
Here we are, Bill. Don't slam the door after you. Shh. Don't get into bed with your wrapper on.
Oh, stop talking, Dad. We'll have to kid. We're asleep.
Here's Mum coming along the passage now. Start snoring.
Are you both asleep?
Oh, is that you, Mum?
Oh.
Just had a nice nap.
Oh, have you, Dad? That's good.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose you could do with a nice cup of tea now, eh?
Oh, I wouldn't bother pottering around the kitchen at this time of night if I were you, Sarah.
Oh, but I always make a cup of tea before going to bed, Dad. And I'm sure Mr. Smith would like one, wouldn't you, Mr. Smith?
Oh, don't bother on my account, Mum.
But you haven't had any supper. It's funny. There seems to be a smell of grilled steak in the house.
Grilled steak? Why, you must be dreaming, Mum.
It must be something else you can smell, Mum. How did the christening party go on?
Oh, it was a great success, Mr. Smith.
Hear any news, Mum?
Well, as a matter of fact, I did. I heard some astonishing things about those Crosley boys and Annie.
Oh, what did you hear, Sarah?
Well, it appears that the Crosleys have been hinting to everyone that Annie's going to lose her money.
Oh, I wouldn't take any notice of that. The Crosleys were always jealous of Annie coming in for all that money. They thought that they should have got some of it, being her cousins. Anyway, they're all talk.
Oh, I don't know so much about that, Bill. Ernie's a windbag, I grant you, but when Larry starts, he's generally got something up his sleeve. And he's definitely up to something lately.
What makes you think so, Dad?
Well, he's been going down to the city a lot lately, and if it wasn't something important he wouldn't go himself, he'd send Ernie.
Why would he? Larry likes going to the city, all right.
He might, but he wouldn't like missing too many of the Bongoola Shire Council meetings. Herb Lester is deputy president for Larry, and don't forget he only pipped Herb by one vote at the last elections. A lot of people think Herb would be the better president of the two.
So what?
So this. Larry don't want Herb occupying the chair too much, and for that reason he wouldn't be leaving Bongoola so often unless it was very important.
Yes, I dare say you're right there. Do you reckon Larry might be going to try and contest Annie's auntie's will?
But it's too late for that now, isn't it, Mr. Smith? And anyway, I think I remember Bert Jackson saying at the time that the Crosleys wouldn't have a case.
Well, perhaps they're trying to get a city lawyer's opinion on the matter. That would account for it.
You know, I feel sure I can smell grilled steak.
Oh, nonsense, Mark, nonsense. How's Alf getting on with the scenario?
Oh, it's finished, I think. Anyway, the company's arriving tomorrow. All the members of the ladies' club are going down to the station to meet them. They're anxious to see all the old ladies who are going to take part in it.
Well, I reckon it's going to be a bit awkward for Mr. Bradwood somehow.
Good gracious, what's that? It's that cat at the garbage tin again. Excuse me a minute.
Oh, Bill, we're goners. If Mum discovers that steak in the garbage tin, our number's up.
No, it's not. She might think it's some left over from another meal.
I doubt it. We don't usually throw big pieces like that away. Look out here she comes.
What do you think, Dad?
Hey?
The cat had a great big bit of steak out there.
Go on.
Now, where do you suppose she got it from? The garbage tin lid was off, but I don't remember throwing any steak away.
Oh, she probably pinched it out of the safe, Mum. Cats are funny like that, you know. They've got no sense of right and wrong.
She'd be very clever if she could open the safe door.
Oh, well, she's a very intelligent-looking cat, that of yours, Mum. I wouldn't put anything past her.
Yes, she must be very clever. Apparently, she not only took the steak out of the safe, but she grilled it nicely, ate it off a plate with a knife and fork, and then put the dirty dishes away in the pot. cover.
You see, Sarah,
What's more, she had another cat in the supper, judging by the other plate. Now, how do you two gentlemen explain that?
Well, it looks as if everyone's turning up for the welcome, eh?
Too right. Here comes the members of the ladies' club. Oh, look at them.
Oh, great Scott, so they are. Oh, I say, this is going to be awkward.
They've come to see all the old ladies arrive. How are you going to explain it to them, Mr. Brandwood, when they see a carriage full of nice-looking girls get out on the platform?
Well, I don't think I'll wait for explanations if it's all the same to you.
But you've got to stay here to welcome the company, haven't you?
Yes, quite, but I think it would be diplomatic to welcome them a little further up the platform.
Yes, I see your point.
I thought you would. Here comes the train now. Excuse me, won't you?
Oh, well, now we'll see them all. I suppose they'll be in a reserved carriage.
Snake Gully! 10 minutes, Snake Gully!
Where's Mr. Bradwood, Al?
A little further down the platform, Annie.
Oh, there he is, Mrs. Ramsey. Just where the guard's going to open that carriage door. Oh, yes, I see. Oh, there's someone getting out now. Good heavens above, look at her. She's not a day more than 23. Is that one of the old ladies?
Oh, isn't she a pretty girl, Al?
Oh, but look at the one behind her, Annie, the fair-haired one.
Oh, there's another young one just behind her. 75 years old indeed. Ladies, we've been deceived.
Been deceived? Yeah.
Well, in that case, I know just what to do. We'll have it out with him in front of the whole company. Come on, ladies, follow me.
Rita, Rita, you stay right where you are.
What?
And that goes for you too, Min.
Ted, what do you mean by it?
I mean that this thing has gone far enough. You ladies have been making Mr. Bradwood's life a misery ever since he's been in Snake Gully. And it's time we men put a stop to it. You'll stay right here with me and greet the members of the company properly.
Ted!
I mean it, Rita. And what's more, if there's any more of this nonsense, I'll put a motion before the council that the Snake Gully's Ladies' Club be declared an illegal organization, sir.